Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Barzola, and we're back to our usual major music theme, Hector Berlioz's March to the Scaffold. And that may be a fate, there are those of us who wish that will be the fate for many of these politicians and these media people who've been covering up for political corruption, in particular in reference to the Arizona situation where they just passed this control of suspected illegal aliens coming into the state. They don't use correct English. These people are not coming here to register to vote. They're not coming here to become U.S. citizens. They're coming here as aliens, as migrants, because there's no work or there's little work for them down in their home countries, because American capitalists who were greedy have wrecked their economy. It goes back to the United Fruit Company in the 19th century. Oil companies, Bill Buckley's family, his father was an oil buccaneer in Mexico. And that's why the Mexicans, the actions of American capitalists down there caused the Mexican government, they had revolutions and uprisings, and it caused them to nationalize their oil industry under the name Pemex, I believe. These guys get greedy and they exploit people, and people don't put up with this, and why should they? We wouldn't. The other thing is all of this emphasis on the Arizona and sometimes Texas, California's borders. There's another border, the Canadian border, where it's estimated that some Mexicans and some South Americans cross that border, the largest undefended border in the world, 3,000 miles from end to end. That was the status. We still don't pay much attention to it, but we've had in recent months suspected terrorists cross that border. It's estimated that there are maybe 10 million illegal Irish who come through Canada across the border very easily, and of course they're white skin. It's easy, quote, to pass. There have been we had one in our own family, a Pole, but he came in directly from Poland, one of our in-laws. We told them, you got to go back and get this straightened out if you want to live here. There's an estimated 100,000 Poles who were in this country illegally. There are Chinese, many of them, coming in through San Francisco, and we'll get into that, where a lot of Chinese boys were transported, and women, and they were abused on the way over, and they're abused when they get here, and they end up in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, New York, even some in Chicago. And then there are Filipinos who come here, sometimes on visas. So it's not only the Mexicans, it's not only South Americans, it's a lot of people. The world wants to rush in. That was the title of a book about California and the gold rush. But the gold is no longer here, and a lot of gold is no longer here, and what's left is quickly being diminished. So, and in part this is the media not using the right language, that these people are not coming here to be U.S. citizens. You don't see them down at the voter registration office unless they're connected to Acorn, one of their voting scams, or the Alinsky people, and some of these so-called immigration rights groups. So we've got to use correct English, get it straight, and force the media to use the proper language. These are migrants. Now, we've done some videos of how these migrants live and how they survive. It's very interesting. They're very resourceful. And they have the fear of being exploited. If they're young men, young boys, young women, they get forced into prostitution, pushing drugs, turning over some of their money. The bank, such as Wells Fargo, offers easy transfer of funds to South America. We put this up on our website, the master website, amicusveritas.org, or go to verzola.org and .com, and then roll over to any of the major websites of ours. Also, go up to our YouTube, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. We just put up the beginning of the series on homosexual porno makers who have targeted young military recruits. There was a tape made in, after Bill Clinton, as president, issued his order, "Don't ask, don't tell." And the opponents of open homosexuality in the media, in the military, produced this video, which is part of a federal court case, Stephen Neri versus Sheriff Hennessy and District Attorney Terrence Hellingham. The site number's up there, C9916745. It's part of the federal records, and we've kept copies. And he had to do it himself because his lawyers betrayed him. They embraced, some of them were in the closet anyway. But and today, since these homosexual video makers have targeted young military recruits, this is a particular honorable day for U.S. Marines. They entered Tripoli in the Barbary Coast Wars, so in the President Jefferson administration. And so that line, the opening line of the Marine hymn, from the shores of the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. The halls of Montezuma was the Mexican War, which actually came afterwards, but it didn't rhyme in the stanza of the anthem. Also today, it's an interesting day. We'll get into this David Campos, this illegal alien himself, who came to California, and he's a homosexual activist, and he and this city attorney in San Francisco, Herrera, who was part of the Clinton administration, reportedly came from Colombia himself, or his parents may have. We're not quite sure, but he's also responsible for the huge expenditure, legal expenditure, for this homosexual, lesbian, NAMBLA, transgendered marriage issue, or diversionary tactic. They don't deal with corruption in San Francisco. They find other ways to divert the public's attention. But today is the birthday of the 18th president. Would you believe this? His first name was Hiram, and his middle name was Ulysses Simpson Grant, born in Pleasant, Ohio, and he was the 18th president of the United States. Also today, we hear the joke about Grant's tomb. Is Grant really in it? He's supposed to be, and I think it's in New York City, but that was dedicated today. And, of course, Grant... a great drinker, cigar smoker, but couldn't do that today, to be on him. He was finishing his memoirs, and he had cancer, and he was dying, and he finished them just in time so that the publisher could pay his family, or pay him, so his family would have money. And, of course, Grant was part of what was known as the Ohio presidents. Most of our presidents came from either Virginia or Ohio. We had Ulysses Grant, we had William Henry Harrison, Garfield, Rutherford Hayes, and we'll get into him in a minute, William McKinley, William Howard Taft, and then the other ones from Virginia were primarily from the founding country. The last one from Virginia was Thomas Woodrow Wilson at the time of World War I. So that's where you sometimes hear the phrase, the Ohio presidents, or Ohio or Virginia is the mother of presidents. And of course, this one is very controversial. Mr. Rowe, people don't know where he was really born because of this ridiculous fuss over the birth certificate that he has concealed. Bill Richardson, and you can go to the Richardson Revelation on YouTube and look at what he said. French TV caught Bill Richardson during the Democratic Convention in Denver, and he was talking to the Hispanic contingent there, saying, Obama is an immigrant, just like us. So Richardson has not said that was a lie, or he was joking. And if he was, he owes Obama, and he owes the nation a big apology, and he should resign from public life, if he was lying and if he was putting people on, because it's caused so much disruption, and we don't need that. We have enough problems. coming up, we hear a lot about, quote, programs. And Will Rogers, the Oklahoma humorous sage, also was very perceptive with politics. He did it in such a way that we don't see today with these so-called comedians who seem to be from the entitlement generation, who seem to be petulant and persnickety. A lot of them just aren't funny. But anyway, we'll be doing some extracts from some of his radio broadcasts, which were part of the Western Public Radio and KALW and Brazil archives that when we were in public radio. So we're working on that. And what he said back during the Depression, during the FDR administration, rings true today, very relevant, especially things about programs, gambling, the Dust Bowl, but you'll have to wait till we air those. Today also, for Filipinos, this is the day in 1521 that Ferdinand Magellan landed in the Philippines and claimed for Spain. And, of course, the Filipino natives didn't like that, and they killed him and ate him. And then in 1565, the first Spanish settlement was established in the Philippines, and there was trouble right up. The priests and the soldiers abused the natives. And it's interesting. Philippines have it's the only Catholic country in Asia, relatively Catholic, but you will see a mixture of, they call them sometimes the Arabs of Asia, because all these ethnic groups, the Malay, the Polynesians, the Spanish, some Jewish, a lot of Chinese. In fact, Ferdinand Marcos was part Chinese. My family's part Chinese. Americans, a few Brits. In fact, Britain during the, this is not known, during the American Revolution, the British captured Manila, but they didn't say. Just think how the history of the Philippines would have been changed had Britain held on to the Philippines. It would have been part of the Commonwealth, been like Singapore and Hong Kong. Excuse me. So that's a part of history that's not known, but the British decided to get out as they because everybody, the world was against them back during the American Revolution. Let's see, what else today? Oh, yes, important to American service people and families. We have lost people, relatives in Afghanistan. In 1978, Mohammed Daoud, the president of Afghanistan, was assassinated. That opened up, again, another Russian invasion and meddling. And throughout the Russian history, they have meddled in Afghanistan, or northwest frontier. And General Brigadier Ingalls, of the last commander of the Bengal Lancers and the founder of the Pakistan Military Academy, you can go to our YouTube site. He's up there, Brigadier Ingall, Ingall, and listen to just a snippet of his interview we did and what he mentions, that the British lost four wars in Afghanistan. We still haven't learned our lesson. And the Russians were meddling. And there's a clip from an old, old film which gets into this Russian meddling in the northwest frontier, Afghanistan, Pakistan, what is these places today. So I recommend that. There's a lot of stuff. We have about 63 videos on YouTube, and they're eclectic. A lot of subjects from consumer to history to law. And then today also, it's interesting, because the CIA was involved in sending aid to the Taliban. We couldn't foresee what was going to happen with these people. But in 1996, the head of the CIA, William Colby, died. We don't know. It's interesting. And then for the Tea Party today, the American Tea Party protest, in 1773, the British Parliament passed the Tea Act, and that led to the Boston Tea Party and what the protesters and the Americans who were fed up with out-of-control government and non-accountable politicians and public officials. What's interesting, some of us who have been in the media and who watch the non-accountability and the media malpractice observed that had this media that we have today, and that's both commercial and alternative, so-called alternative, like the Bay Guardian, those types. If they had been around, do you think, how would they have reported the Boston Tea Party? Would it have been a Harvard-Yale student prank? Would it have been reported at all in the press at the time? Would they have reported on Paul Revere's Midnight Ride, or did something to try to kill the horse, or even shoot the rider? That's how we see media today and how they possibly would have acted back then. There would have been no American Revolution. Some of these people were around at that time. Let's see, what else today? Oh, yes. And this is very important because there's still a demand that the federal government bring in or nationalize or activate the National Guard for this particular issue of safeguarding our borders and stopping plugging the sieve along the borders with these illegal migrants and suspected terrorists in some cases. Well, in 1877, Rutherford B. Hayes, as part of the deal that contested election between him and Samuel Tilden, Tilden reportedly won in the popular vote, but it was thrown into the House of Representatives. So the South, to make a deal with the Republicans to get to allow Hayes to be inaugurated, to be selected president or officially elected, he had to make a deal to remove Union troops, which Andrew Johnson had sent to the South or kept in the South after the Civil War, to enforce the voting rights and the civil rights of the blacks. So the deal was Rutherford B. Hayes had to remove federal troops from the South, and Louisiana was the last place that this happened. And for those that we hear about Social Security and it's bankrupt, in 1937, Social Security paid its first benefit. This is the Franklin Roosevelt administration, and that was, I think, $37 is minimal. Of course, in those days, that was something. And then in 1940, to the shame, the black spot in German history, Himmler set up Auschwitz, the concentration camp, and that's a name that's well bandied about. Of course, we're coming up to May 8th, which is the end of the war in Europe, VE Day, and we'll have some special on that. Then in 1967, this is a warning, and this has been a warning. In Montreal, Canada, they set up Expo 67, and that was to celebrate the 100 years of Canadian Confederation. After the Civil War, Britain and the Canadians were concerned that a resurgent North, we've always tried to conquer Canada, and we've sent up our most incompetent generals, with the exception of Benedict Arnold. But the guy named Henry Dearborn, he goofed up. And, you know, he was repulsed. And so what happened? They named cities and streets Dearborn, Michigan, Dearborn Street in Chicago, after this incompetent general. But the British and the Canadians were fearful that the Union Army would march north and take over Canada. That's always been a desire of people who wanted to practice manifest destiny. Used to be from sea to sea, and they wanted to go from Gulf of Mexico up to the Hudson's Bay, practically, or what was known as Upper and Lower Canada. So the Canadians got together at St. John's, Newfoundland, and had a conference and said, we've got to protect ourselves. And so they established this confederation, which is what, in effect, the South had. And one of the deals was we need to link the country, and that was when they started the Canadian Pacific Railroad, one of the great engineering feats of Canada and in the world, and go through some of the most beautiful scenery in the world. So, and their first prime minister was Sir John Macdonald, and then they've had Scotch and French-Canadian Catholics, generally Louis Laurent, the last French-Canadian. In fact, he was prime minister at the time was Pierre Trudeau, and in 19, there was this thing called Trudeau-mania. He was young, wealthy Scotch, French-Canadian, family-owned gas stations. He studied at Harvard, had a law degree, threw snowballs and Lenin's statue. An interesting guy, but he's dead. He had three sons, married very late in life, a very young woman. So there's a little history for you. Now, if you go to our website, we just put this up, and this goes back to 1997, this video we discovered in the Stephen Nery case where he was taken off the USS Carl Vinson through a fraudulent document written by a employee of the San Francisco District Attorney. We'll get into more of that on Peter Kling, or Castro Kling as he's known. This tape, How to Seduce Young Military Recruits. And what happened was this tape appeared after President Clinton issued his order, don't ask, don't tell. So if people were of that persuasion in the military, as long as they kept their mouth shut, their sleeves down, their zippers up, and their underwear up and on, the military couldn't kick them out and they couldn't ask the question. If they politicized it, which many of them did, which is a bit their mistake, then they were subject to a separation from the service. That's the term. Well, the opponents of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and we still see them today, we still hear them, produced this video called How to Seduce Young Military Recruits. And we discovered that there was a connection to an employee in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, a Wayne Friday, a very controversial person, known as in some quarters as the wannabe Rasputin of San Francisco, such a fixer. He worked for this paper, the Bay Reporter, which lives, finances by male prostitution and so-called massage ads and glory hole ads. Very disgusting, and they engage in homosexual necrophilia. They publish frontal nude photos of dead public officials. And, of course, when Arnold Schwarzenegger, ran for governor of California in the recall election, they published a frontal nude photo of him. What this has to do with politics, a lot of us don't know. It's just petulant behavior and not called for, and real journalists don't engage in this type of behavior. No point to it, no pun intended. Anyway, this tape was discovered, connected to the prosecution, the San Francisco District Attorney's Office at that time, and copies, it's an hour-long tape, we got a copy, and then it's in the court filing that Stephen Nery removed the illegal prosecution to the proper jurisdiction, the Federal District Court here in San Francisco, in case 99C-16745. It's all documented, you can see it on our YouTube site, part of it, and on the amicusveritas.org, AmicusVeritas. Well, today, because of the political upheaval in Arizona, we have several of our radical left pro-homosexual and homosexual politicians and public officials, some are in the closet, some are pretty open, who are advocating a boycott of Arizona. One of them is an illegal alien himself. This guy, David Campos, came to the United States illegally. He's also a homosexual activist, and he got himself elected. And the question about is he legally on a public official because he entered the country illegally. And he's calling for a resolution, and along with the city attorney, a guy named Herrera, who was in the Clinton administration. Another one, Mr. Gay Marriage, calling for a boycott of Arizona. Well, the question is, this is really the height of cheek. Here's a guy who entered the country illegally who's also a homosexual activist. There may be more to that, more to his practices. We don't know yet. There's a lot of suspicion. But anyway, it's just the height of arrogance. Here's a guy who entered this country illegally, and he's now telling us that we can't enforce our own laws. We cannot protect our borders. We cannot decide who is a citizen, who should come in, and who should be deported. We think, those of us who are born here, and even legal immigrants who have come here, this guy was an illegal alien. He wasn't even a U.S. citizen. His parents weren't a U.S. citizen. That he should be deported. And he's not the only one. The sad thing is that Americans who are born here, who are tired of the politics, taxation system, which is becoming more and more regressive, are giving up their American citizenship. You know, this is something that people need to look at, that this is uncalled for, and this should not be tolerated. And, of course, the media should bring this up, but, of course, both the commercial and the alternative media don't. And some of them support these illegals. Now, what has happened, I'll say this again, from what we've studied, is that the migrants that we know about and we see, and there'll be more in this, come here because they cannot find work or enough work down in their home countries. and they have family support. We know of one case where a guy has worked out in the American system so well. He takes a shower every day. He knows where to eat the soup kitchens, and they feed more than soup, believe me. And he has work, and he goes back to Mexico, brings money or sends money back. He doesn't cause trouble. He isn't pushing drugs. He isn't extorting money or prostitution or any of that, as far as we know. I've seen him around. I've talked to him. And he goes back to Mexico periodically to see his family. He has no family here in the States. So there are quite a few people like that. And it's interesting how they have learned to survive in this environment. We don't know what the federal courts are going to do, but here's something that very few people know, and having worked in the federal courthouse when I was going to school back in the 60s. The clerks, there's supposed to be a code of ethics, and they have to adhere to, but their growing number of them don't. The staff attorneys and the clerks, it appears that, at least in California, we don't know if this applies to the rest of the states, that the two senators, in this case Feinstein and Boxer, appoint or select personnel for the federal court system. And so this is why, and remember, these clerks and these staff attorneys do the work for the federal judges. These judges have huge dockets. They don't have time to do the research. A few of them try if something interests them, but that's why they have clerks there. That's why they have staff attorneys. And so because of the time element what interests a particular judge, they rely on the honesty, the efficiency, the ethics, competence of these staff attorneys and these clerks. And, of course, since we're having these radicals that Feinstein and Boxer appoint for the Ninth Circuit, who in turn appoint their buddies and their political supporters and people who support radical agendas. This is why we are seeing and have seen these radical decisions coming down from the Ninth Federal Circuit, which has been blasted and shellacked by a lot of competent lawyers and even judges. They don't. They talk about it privately, and some of them dare come out publicly and say the problems with the Ninth Circuit. More cases have been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court that have come out of the Ninth Circuit, which is one of the biggest circuits, and there has been attempts and calls to break up the circuit. I don't know how they're going to do it, because San Francisco is one of the headquarters, and then Pasadena is the other. And we're hearing this fuss about the Securities and Exchange employees viewing porno on government computers. They weren't the only ones. There are court-martial cases of military personnel who've been caught downloading pornography, viewing pornography on federal military computers. There were clerks in the Ninth Circuit who were caught viewing porno federal court computers and on government time. And, of course, we have worse in San Francisco. The former DA, he was defeated, thank God, and his predecessor had appointed people who were involved in the production and the promotion of these videos. So tune in Thursday. We're working on our commemoration of Gallipoli. And I want to thank you for viewing. And, again, go to our Amicus Veritas. Go to YouTube, our Amicus Veritas site. We're regularly putting up news videos. And to our master video webpages, verzola.com, verzola.com. And we'll end with our favorite theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
just keep in mind that this election coming up in November, we've got to prepare for vote fraud now, and we don't want qualified people to lose. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Thanks for listening, and go view our YouTube sites.